This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Time magazine, February 21st, 2011, declared on its cover, 2045 is the year man becomes immortal. 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be taking a look at this whole issue of scientific immortality and where it's going. What does it have to do with transhumanism? And what does it have to do for instance, with the new economic forum, the new world order? Well, perhaps we can understand a little bit more about that when we take a look at what just happened. The German economist and World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab made waves on social media this week after a leaked video from a September 22 World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders Conference, where Schwab was telling his audience that merging human beings with technology could be used as a way to circumvent death and live forever. He's inducting the young in the scientific and philosophical world into the vision of the New World Order, the Great Reset, where Schwab envisions a future where all of humanity will live under the yoke of a one-world government. In the video, Schwab touted the benefits of transhumanism to his audience, stating that a person would be able to have a 50-year career through life-extending technologies that included injections and the use of avatars in place of a body after it dies. He said your avatar will continue to live and your brain will be replicated through artificial intelligence and algorithms. Well, this matter of transhumanism is based on the desire to remain in the darkness of the flesh forever, it seems, instead of being granted eternal life by God. So human beings, therefore, are in the pursuit of becoming God. Yuval Noah Harari, a World Economic Forum lecturer and professor in the Department of History at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, said, "We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens." He said that eventually those who own the data will be able to hack human beings. Transhumanism, according to the World Economic Forum, is a movement wherein advocates believe the human condition can be enhanced by technology in all forms, including genetic engineering, bioengineering, artificial intelligence, and molecular nanotechnology. The World Economic Forum also notes that it's the end result of a fusion between human and machine that would be an enhanced or augmented version of Homo sapiens. But in 2018, a journal published titled "Transhumanism as the Dominant Ideology of the Fourth Industrial Revolution" was stated by Geisen, a professor of political science, who contradicted the World Economic Forum premise. He went even further. He said that the transhumanist thought can be broken down into three main underpinnings. Think about these three things. One, humans are fundamentally obsolete. Two, there will be a complete integration between human and machine. Three, doing this would make human beings transcend humanity itself, thus enabling a person to become a technological god. Well, the fact that this project has found support among very important sections of the state apparatus and the private sector is very significant, I would think. According to the scientist Geisen, a human's or transhumanist's main goal is undoing the current world order and replacing it completely with a new set of values that would eventually result in redistribution of wealth and the restructuring of social classes. In the meantime, Klaus Schwab there at the World Economic Forum and other global elites like Microsoft founder Bill Gates have been a driving force behind efforts to lower birth rates through funding abortion, vaccines, and contraception. That seems just the opposite than pushing people to live forever, doesn't it? Although arguably a transhuman, part machine population devoid of its humanity might be easier to control, and that indeed, friends, is where the new world order is going. Do they really want human beings to become immortal? Well, not so much the way Christians would think about becoming immortal. It's a counterfeit immortality. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. These godless scientists say, we're not going to do that thing called judgment. We're going to become immortal on our own. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today, I trust that what we share is going to be, well, transformative in the sense that it might jerk our chains sufficiently to realize the moment of time that we are in on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which would cause us to seriously consider our own lives. For as the scripture says, he who believes that Jesus Christ is coming soon, that we're on the near edge of the second coming, will purify himself even as Christ is pure. In other words, not going to seek immortality on this life, but is going to seek Christ and his standard for immortality, that is eternal life with him. So, again, this is Viewpoint. Our viewpoint does determine destiny. And the viewpoint, we have to understand these viewpoints. If you don't understand these viewpoints, then it's impossible to really understand the dynamics of what is taking place. You can talk about a one world order as a governmental kind of thing, but in reality, it's directly linked to artificial intelligence. For instance, this article coming out in 2019 headlined Google creating godlike artificial intelligence. They call it the Manhattan Project to monitor everything you do. Google developing an all-knowing godlike artificial intelligence that employees describe as the AI Manhattan Project, trying to control the grid that captures all information, including everything concerning you, concerning your life, concerning your background, your foreground, your medical condition. In other words, a artificial ability to create an artificial you. Putting that in context today, well, you could just become an avatar of yourself. You might want to think about that. What is AI capable of doing? Now we begin to understand the incredible danger of AI. All part of the effort for man to become immortal, in fact, to become God by 2045 at the latest. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, lest you should think that 2045, the year man becomes immortal, according to the cover story of Time magazine back on February 21st, 2011, was something, you might want to go back to 1996, which is the year after we started this program. The cover story of Time magazine was this: Forever Young. In other words, the whole magazine, the main article devoted to basically creating immortality. Immortality from science. That science itself, man, would make himself immortal, would not need God, would not need salvation, because we'll save ourselves. Interesting, isn't it? This is the kind of deception, friends, that Jesus warned about. He said, beware or take heed that no man deceive you. As he talked with his disciples there 2 days before his crucifixion, there overlooking the Temple Mount and the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, and so on. So today on Viewpoint, we want to build on this and take a deeper, some people would call it a deeper dive, into this whole issue of scientific salvation. So I want to take you back to some excerpts in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. This is my latest book, before the one that we've been talking about coming out. By the way, the manuscript, the final edited manuscript for When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, is now going to print. The cover and the manuscript are now complete, have been edited and re-edited, and now going to print. So, progress is being made for the availability of this to our listeners through the Persecution Project coming out in August, and I hope that you'll avail yourself of it. More and more people are realizing how serious this moment is, and in fact, our leaders. In fact, let me just grab something for a moment. Actually, it's not available at this desk. Perhaps I can provide it to you in the next day or two. So, what leaders are actually saying concerning that book, they are saying from the heart that this is a book so timely, so necessary, that they believe that it should be in the hands of every leader and every professing Christian in the country and around the world. That's how serious they consider it. So, by the way, if you have not become part of the Persecution Project, I urge you to consider doing that. For those of you who may not be familiar with it, let me just share it with you briefly. For your gift of $250 to Save America Ministries, we will provide to you, when the book comes out in August, before it ever comes out on Amazon or in any other place, before it ever comes out any other place, we will provide to you 10 copies of the book for this purpose, and that is that you will become God's hand extended to get this exceedingly important message out to those in your sphere of influence. So in other words, you will be asking the Lord to direct your hand, your mind, your heart, as to who would be most important to receive this particular book. Remember, it's not an evangelistic book. It's not about reaching the unsaved. It's about reaching the mind and heart of those who profess to be Christians, to prepare their families, to prepare their congregations, and so on, for the massive persecution that is just sweeping the earth. It's just unbelievable what's happening in our country. It's hard to believe, but if you follow it like I do, it is just, it's breathtaking. So, how do you participate? You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Include your check for $250. Or you can go on the website, saveus.org, and there you will find that there is a special place for you to sign up for the Persecution Project. Many people have done that. We're very encouraged by those who have done that. And what it's going to do is multiply the ability of this message to get out more quickly. And it gives every listener the opportunity to become God's hand extended. A lot of people say, well, I can't, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? Well, this is something that you can do. This is a real way that you can partner with us. You may not be able to write books. You may not be able to be on the air and so on, but you can ask the Lord to direct you to those who you should put this book in their hands in order to help them prepare those in their spheres of influence for the times that are coming rapidly upon us. So I hope you'll avail yourself of it. Some have actually signed up for two groups of those. So they, instead of sending a $250 check, they decided to, shall we say, buy into this project for $500. That way they will receive 20 copies of the book. Several have gone to $1,000, receiving 40 copies of the book. So this is something you can do and to be part of and to make a difference. When you put such a book in the hands of pastors and parachurch leaders and friends and relatives and people that you care about, maybe employees or people that co-workers and so on, it can make a huge difference. So remember, it's not evangelistic. It's about helping them to understand truly the nature of the times, because you care for them and you care for their families and you take care for their constituencies and you care for the pastor that has to care for other people. You get the point. Okay, now moving beyond that, I want to take you back to 2001. Kenneth Woodward, a very famous journalist, set the stage for Newsweek. And here was the eye-catching title in Newsweek, 2001, A Question of Life or Death. That was the title. And it concluded with these words, We stand at the edge of a new world where human beings can virtually reinvent themselves. So, what new world is that? Where is that leading? Well, a Harvard scientist, a physicist, said, you can't stop science. Cloning and the reprogramming of DNA is the first serious step in becoming one with God. One with God. Now, another way to put that is actually becoming God in and of ourselves. So if you think about that, if you go back to the book of Genesis, we find in the book of Genesis, it informs us that God made man in his image. So might man now recreate a new hybrid humankind? That's what's being worked on. So in the words of one article in Newsweek, are we not only playing God, but actually becoming God? Can we save ourselves and become immortal without the divine intervention of a savior or a messianic redeemer? So, in reality, we're trying to create immortality, and it becomes science actually is creating a messianic moment. Now, lest you should think that that's going afar off, the name Francis Collins should engender something in your memory. He was the head of one of the National Institute of Health. Purporting to be a Christian, he headed the publicly financed Genome Project since 1993, when we formed Save America Ministries. He professed to be a follower of Jesus as Messiah and noted that, quote, decoding the book of life, that is the DNA, poses daunting moral dilemmas, the power to re-engineer the human species. He then made this clear, quote, we ascribe some part, some sort of quasi-religious significance to our DNA. So the question is, have we achieved scientific salvation, or is it just lurking around under a secretive mantle for the momentous unveiling of our messianic moment? That's where we are. Now, it involves so much more than the DNA. It involves what we opened the program with, the discussion of so-called transhumanism. So the trajectory of technological creationism, which is what we're talking about, is to achieve immortality. It's not just the typical human desire to escape potential responsibility for our actions in life after death without having to give an account for our lives. But if I can become immortal in the flesh or become God myself, well, I guess the problem of accountability is solved, isn't it? I don't have to be accountable. I am God. So, will humans be satisfied to be like God, or will we persist to become God? Well, the goal, according to the transhumanists and big tech, is to ascend the human race. Those are their words, ascend the human race. In other words, to become more than human. So a warning came from Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab.com, who asserts that the tech giants are looking at creating a post-human race, destroying our humanity by appending technology to our bodies, and they believe even to our souls. That's a direct quote from a scientist. It's called transhumanism. In fact, it can be fairly argued that technology is a modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace. That came from Forbes Business Magazine. So where is all of this leading? What does this actually look like? We're going to talk more about that in the next few minutes, but I want to make available to you a copy of my latest book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Now, there's an entire chapter in that book called Scientific Salvation. People do not realize what really that book is about. They think they know what the book is about, but they don't. Because if they did, they'd be globbing onto the book like mad. But they say, they hear the word Messiah. Oh, okay, well, I know who the Messiah is. And so they think it's just another talk about the coming of Christ. Well, it is about that, but it's about all the alternatives that are being presented to us that are trying to replace that Messiah. And precisely because of that, friends, we're seeing just a rapid, rapid movement in our world, and yes, in America, even through our government, in the world of science, in the world of psychology, in the world of business, it's all coming together, even in the world of law, all merging together to create a counterfeit Messiah, a counterfeit messianic movement. Now, different from the Antichrist itself, this is manifesting the numerous ways in which various movements, various religions, various movements in our world all have a messianic vision. Then contrasting those messianic visions with what the Bible tells us about the Messiah, unveiling the mystery of the ages. That's what the book is about. It's a $22 book, and it's available to you. We're $18 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
The year was 2012. A documentary came out produced by Jason Silva that declared with such boldness the goal of everything related to the New World Order and technological salvation. Here is what he said. We're turning into gods. We're turning into gods. So transhumanism is man's new quest for immortality, to become God in and of ourselves. He said, we want to transcend our biological limitations. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, science is going to tell you how to do it. In fact, that's their goal. And human beings are so gullible that they're going to think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I can transcend my biological limitations. So the answer to the question whether we can transcend our biological limitations defines the heart and soul of the meaning of scientific salvation. Can we save ourselves? It's not a matter, friends, of trying to be more healthy, of trying to live a more productive life. It's way beyond that. The heart of the matter is to become God. You may have heard me tell of a situation. I was in the Los Angeles LAX airport. This was a little over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago now. And I was in a layover in Delta. And in that room where all the people were awaiting opportunities to fly out on the next Delta flight, I had a conversation with a man sitting across from me. He identified himself as an international engineer for the Sony Corporation. And so we were just chatting, and he was telling me about the wonders of science and what was transcribing, what was coming about and going to be coming about with regard to scientific inventions and the trajectory of technology and so on. He said, among other things, that the time is coming when we will not have telephone instruments, but they will be implants. But then, in the course of conversation, without taking a breath, without stopping, he said, and the day is coming when we will be gods. That's exactly what he said. The day is coming when we will be gods. He just came right out and said it boldly. That was 2000, about 20, 25 years ago now. So what then should we understand from the stated goal of the words transcending biological limitations? What does that really mean? Well, it reveals both the thoughts and the intents of the heart, because as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here's how the thinking goes. The scientific thinking. I am a biological being, yet made in the image of God. I'm not satisfied with being merely a being of flesh and blood with heart and soul. I will transcend this mortal being and become immortal through scientific salvation or technology. I will not die but live forever, eventually through technological salvation. I will become transcendent, and together we will finally rule the world. I and we will become God. Now, does that not sound suspiciously like the description in the scriptures concerning Satan himself and his rebellion against God? Yeah, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. So, guess what? He cannot do that on terra firma without human beings, because God has given dominion to man in the earth. Therefore, Satan must exercise his rebellion and his dominion to accomplish his declaration, I will be like the Most High God. He has to do it through human beings. And that is exactly what's happening now. This should tell you that we are right on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Might be a bit shocking. So, do you believe this is the motivational trajectory of technology driven by God-denying, God-despising scientists and philosophers? Why do they want to become as God or gods when, and while adamantly maintaining their disbelief in both a God and a creator? Isn't that interesting? Why would they want to become as God when they don't declare they don't believe in God? They don't believe in a creator. It's strange, isn't it? A philosopher, Mae Migley, made it very clear in her 1992 book, Science as Salvation. That was the title of it, Science as Salvation. Now remember, 1992 was the year that God spoke to my heart as a practicing trial attorney in California, that I had been pleading the cause of men long enough, and he wanted me to plead his cause of the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour, here on the near edge of the second coming. So that was the period, 1992-93, where the fulcrum period in the history of America and our world. And here was Meg Migdaly tracing the notion of achieving immortality by transcendence of the material human body. Transcending biological limitations has one ultimate goal, she said, becoming immortal, becoming as God. So the cover story of Time magazine in February of 2011 announced 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Amazing, isn't it? Now, just in case you breathe a sigh of relief that such a momentous event lies quite a ways off, 15 years off, or actually more like 20 years off, consider the claim of Werner Vinge concerning what he called the consummate event known as the singularity, which he exalts will revolutionize the world, ushering in a post-human epoch. When he was asked in 1993 when he expected this ultimate progression of human history to virtually godhood, he announced regarding the coming technological singularity, please listen, he said, I'd be surprised if the singularity had not happened by 2030. 2030. Let's see, this is 2024. That's 6 years away. Maybe five and a half to six and a half years away. So for those interested in the significance of the year 2030, you might want to just reconsider. The World Economic Forum has decreed that the consummation of the Great Reset for that very date, and which former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry declared was ushered in by the inauguration of Joseph Biden as U.S. president. It's also noteworthy, I think, that the United Nations has established for fulfillment its One World Order globalist intentions called Agenda 2030. Are you beginning to see how all of this merges together now? It's like the mystery of the ages that's truly taken root in the heart of scientists. And the question is, are we awaiting a Messiah or creating one? Are we awaiting a Messiah or creating one? And if we're creating one, it's revealing the rebellious condition of our minds and our hearts, that we will become as God, just as Satan declared he would do. He has to do it through mankind so that he then can rule and reign over the planet from the Temple Mount. So this all connects with geopolitics. It connects with biology, medicine, science, every scientific realm, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, law, banking. Everything is now interconnected with this mindset. We will become as God. I'm leaving a little pregnant silence there for us to consider this. We will become as God. Not just playing God, but becoming God in our own right. We don't need God. We've got science. We've got technology. We can even clone human beings. We can exceed humanity. We can superimpose ourselves over humanity and actually transcend our biological limitations and become God. Wow. Is this grabbing your mind and heart at all? It should. So, the question is, can we truly ascend the human race? Become greater than humanity? Can we become greater than humanity? Can we actually become as God? Will human beings be satisfied to be like God, as Genesis 1 tells us, or will we persist to become God, as Satan, the worship leader of heaven, decided was his entitlement? So the goal is to ascend the human race. A post-human race, destroying our humanity by appending technology to our bodies and, they believe, to our souls. It's called transhumanism. A modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace. Every day, we hear more about it. Get a copy of my book, by the way, Messiah Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. That's just one chapter. Just one chapter, Scientific Salvation. You can't imagine what the rest of the book has. It's just beyond, beyond, friends. Helping us to understand our times from God's viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It's such a privilege to be able to come before you day after day after day now for over 19 years. Actually, over 29 years, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. We try to do it in such a way that It contains vast amounts of information so that we can understand that we're just not talking off the top of our heads. On the other hand, the purpose is not for information alone. It's for transformation. In other words, it's that we might change in accordance with the information that's being provided, change according to God's expectations in our lives, seeing that what God has told us was going to take place is actually taking place, so we should not put off making the kinds of decisions that would be necessary to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives, in the lives of our families, in our congregations, and so on, for history's final hour, the coming of the Lord. So again, the book, Miss Messiah, helps us to do that. It reveals so much. Let me just give you some ideas. It talks about the age of Aquarius, the New Age mystical Messiah, from Nimrod to the New World Order, salvation by syncretism, the merging of the religions, sincere seduction, the mystery of moral messianism, the cafeteria Christ, the United Nations Savior, the goddess revival, the environmental deification, the evolutionary Christ, the Marxist Messiah, the Masonic Messiah, the Noahide laws in Olam Haba, the imposter, the little horn, Daniel's unveiling drama, and concludes, after a whole series of chapters, unveiling of Messiah, the third day. I believe the whole book is worth the price for that chapter alone. The third day. Messiah, unveiling the mystery of the ages. $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. You have no idea, it's hard to imagine, I'm sure, what has gone into preparing these books for you. I receive no money, no income. I'm on God's payroll, you might say. Not going to try to define what that means. Look, yours truly receives no income from Save America Ministries, from your donations, none, and never has. We don't receive any income from Viewpoint. All of this is a labor of love in obedience to God's call back in 1992. I want you to speak to my church at large, whether they were here or whether they were prepared, to prepare the way of the Lord. Regarding the 10 books that have been written so far, I receive no income. Never have. We're not here to sell books per se. We're here to deliver a message, and the books are the means of delivering that message plus the radio program. Then you become the agency through which the message becomes echoed through your spheres of influence. If it doesn't happen for you, it's not going to happen. We don't have the kind of money that would provide the necessary publicity to go on television and massive, massive radio interviews and print to promotion and so on around the world to get. No, we don't have that. Just as it was with the gospel in the first century, so it is now. God's depending upon you. He's depending on his people. We each have our role. I hope you see it that way. All right. Now, let me just wrap up with you the connection between the COVID situation coming out of 2019, 2020. The geopolitically proclaimed COVID pandemic became the triggering catalyst to catapult the world into the ultimate merger of biotechnology and digital technology to transform humanity. The anticipated Great Reset would bring a world in which giant corporations and government would seamlessly merge. So, the fellow Klaus Schwab, founder of the World Economic Forum, predicted a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identities. He wrote that microchips and other technology would lift humanity into a new collective and moral consciousness. That's a quote from him. Such technology, he said, which can turn humans into digital assets in a new world order, enables a cashless society. One's ability to buy or sell could be instantly canceled. That's where things are headed. The mRNA vaccines, we were assured, do not affect the human genome. What should we conclude then from a TED Talk by Tal Zaks, who is Moderna's chief medical officer, who boldly and proudly declared, "We are actually hacking the software of life." That's what he said. Genetic engineering, along with robotics, molecular nanotechnology, and artificial intelligence, is seen as a tool for transforming humanity into a post-human species. He said, that's Moderna's chief medical officer. The Pfizer BioNTech and Moderna COVID vaccines insert genetic material into your cells, declared the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And as Bill Gates described it, you essentially turn your body into its own manufacturing unity. You become a spike protein factory. You literally become a GMO. You didn't realize that, did you? You weren't told that, were you? The goal is not defined by the superficial pretense of health and healing, but rather was the inner intention that the human creative advance to godhood by recreating himself, thus shaking humanity's collective fist in the face of our Creator, declaring equality with our Maker. Dr. Stephen Hoge, president of Moderna, explained it this way. mRNA is really like a software molecule in biology. So our vaccine is like the software program to your body. So the conclusion of technocracy, news, and trends is as follows. Every citizen on planet Earth should deeply consider the counterfeiting messianic implications. Messianic implications? Yeah. Technocrats are driving the pandemic, or were driving the pandemic as the Great Panic of 2020, to shut down the global economy to make way for the Great Reset or the New World Order into sustainable development, that is AKA always known as technocracy. Transhumans are piggybacking their own goals onto the pandemic to trigger humans 2.0. Technocracy is to society what transhumanism is to humans that live in it. Both are extremely dangerous for all humankind and must be rejected before it is too late to stop them. That's a quote from Technocracy News and Trends. So, as I say in the book Messiah, reader beware, a counterfeit pseudo-Messiah is being ready to preempt the coming of the long-awaited Messiah, the hope of Israel, and the growing hope of humanity worldwide. Unfortunately, the technological chaos being created in feverish pursuit of a human-created God and self-immortality is creating camouflage and cover for godless scientists in their desperate attempt at technological salvation. That's where it is. Now, think about this. We've done a lot of talk over the years concerning the COVID issue and the jabs. They were promoted as vaccines. We discovered that science, including Dr. Tony Fauci and all who were listening to him and repeating his mantra, that these were valid vaccines and would keep you from getting the virus and from transmitting the virus. All of that was a lie and was well known to be a lie, which the President of the United States reiterated to us over and over again. So the lie continued to be told and retold and retold, and then it was driven into the mind and heart of we the people by force or threat of force. Now that doesn't sound much like democracy, does it? That sounds like a dictatorship. That's the goal, friends. Man becomes a dictator. He tells the rest of humankind what to do and where to go. You have no freedom under this new world government. The whole concept of freedom is an anachronism to them. They're becoming God, and somebody's going to rule. And it ain't going to be God because we're becoming God. So therefore, people pretending to be God, like Dr. Fauci was, now are finding themselves in hot water legally because they lied profusely to us concerning the so-called vaccines, which the CDC concluded and admitted were not vaccines at all. They could not and would not prevent you from getting the virus nor from transmitting it to anyone else. All they would do was hopefully reduce some of the symptoms when you got it. But that's not how it was modeled, the mantra under which it was delivered. What they did not tell you, and it was not understood, is that when you received the jab, as we're now revealing, and I just shared with you, quotations even from Moderna and their leadership, inside, you were recreated. Your immune system was recreated. The God-given immune system was demolished in order to prepare a counterfeit immunity, purportedly, to the COVID-19 strain. So it was like Esau getting a mess of pottage and exchanging it for his birthright. That's what people did when they took the jab. Just like Esau. They took a mess of pottage to save them from some short-term situation that was falsely presented to them through technology and a technological salvation, but in the process gave up their valuable immune system and, in essence, their life itself. Now we see why people are falling dead everywhere. We're going to continue to see the ramifications of it, and that they will want to promote a whole new genre of technological salvation. Are you ready? Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friends. Become a partner. Go to the website, make your generous gift. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.